A AccuWeather weather forecast says it'll be plenty of sunshine today, the high around 75. Well, after a successful raffle paid for the Sturtevant Fireworks Show that you'll be seeing this coming Sunday night, village officials want to do it again next year and beyond. They're having a hard time, though, deciding on a format. They skipped the display last year, sold some raffle tickets, didn't quite get to 300 sold, but they did get enough to cover the prize and to pay for the fireworks display this year. Now it's a discussion about how do you do the raffle this time around. At last night's continuous committee meeting, Village Administrator Mary Cole urged the trustees talk to the residents during this weekend's display, gauge their interest.
See what they're looking at, you know, see if, hey, you bring it up, we're interested in doing a raffle, would you be willing? And just, even if you ask 10 people, you get an idea of what people are willing to pay, and maybe you get their information and you contact them once you're ready to go. And that's just a suggestion.
A decision on how the raffle will be operated, probably a few more weeks of discussion. Constructing a second Habitat for Humanity house on Mead Street in Mount Pleasant's been delayed because of some problems discovered underground. Habitat's executive director, Leanne Lowenstein, says that they knew this house at 2231 Mead was on the site of the old Adams Hotel, taken down back in the 70s. They found, however, when they started excavating for the basement, they found rubble from the hotel, a leaking fuel oil tank. That created an unexpected $40,000 to $50,000 expense that S.C. Johnson CEO Fisk Johnson as their companion in this effort. After learning of the problem, he donated the full amount to remediate the soil. But she says the project has been delayed now for several weeks.
Originally, we were going to build the 13th of June, we were going to start. And now we postponed it by almost 4 weeks. So it has delayed the start of the project for the volunteers and to get construction started.
So those volunteers are now set to go next week. More are always needed. Second Habitat house going up between the first one and the COP house in Mount Pleasant. Insurance coverage for cyber-related problems, an upgrade for the email system, and the cost of motorcycle training for a sheriff's deputy, all covered in the approval of separate resolutions last night by the Racine County Board. The cyber insurance coverage through AIG, that carries a premium of close to $37,000. A three-year contract with Microsoft Corporation totaling $358,500 will upgrade the county's email server and various online work capabilities. It'll also save over $15,000, according to IT leader John Barrett.
From a cost perspective, Microsoft has moved from a pricing model of, 5 years ago, if you wanted to purchase a product, you'd buy either a disk or a download of that product, and you would upgrade it, say, every 3 to 5 years. Their model today is one where you get charged monthly based on what you use.
The motorcycle training, according to Supervisor Q.A. Shakur, going to end up saving money in the long run. It's just one deputy, but that deputy will then help train the others in-house.
What we're going to do here is, I believe it's Lieutenant Baker, is going to be going to this training. And once he completes his training, he will be our on-site in-house trainer. And with that being the case, we'll save thousands of dollars.
All three resolutions okayed unanimously without discussion by the Racine County Board. And the Kenosha Unified School District actually benefited from the surprise vote last week by residents of Great Britain to leave the European Union. That's because of a general obligation bond offering that will end up saving the district about $2 million. The Kenosha News quotes an official with Milwaukee-based PMA Securities telling the Board of Education the vote led to a sharp decline in interest rates for their bond issue, about 2.54% compared to the 3.5% originally projected for the $28.5 million that will be used for updates to Bullen and Lance Middle Schools. Racine County is continuing to move forward on the possible sale of the Ridgewood Care Center to a private operator and now has a broker to do the work over the next several months. County Board Chairman Rusty Clark informing supervisors Ray Giannini from Marcus Millchap Real Estate Investment Services in Milwaukee has been picked to help the county determine what happens next with the nursing home.
And I am in the process of coordinating a meeting with Executive and Health and Human Development Committees to discuss the project. The county executive and I wish to use that meeting date to provide the list of conditions that we think should be included in our letter of intent that solicits offers.
Ray Giannini, the same broker that the county initially approached for some general information about possibly selling the nursing home. Corporation Counsel John Lehman says Giannini brings a wealth of experience and that the starting point for any offers would be $10 million. The Racine Social Security office closed right now through the end of the week. A facilities issue is how it's described. The office is on Durand Avenue on the southwest side of the city, scheduled to reopen next Tuesday. The Wisconsin Budget Project calling into question a tax credit that's expected to cost the state some $284 million in the next fiscal year. Analyst Tamarin Cornelius says most of the manufacturing and agricultural credit benefits the state's wealthiest residents.
It's set up in a way that gives very large tax breaks to people with extremely high incomes, not just kind of high incomes, but extremely high incomes. So we're talking about $1 million and up.
She says their review found the credit has had no impact actually in helping to create jobs and that state lawmakers should reconsider continuing it as they look for savings. UW-Madison is one of only three public universities on the top 10 list of colleges that produce the most Fortune 500 chief executive officers. The Money Magazine list using data from the educational backgrounds of the recently released Fortune 500. UW alumni mentioned on the list include Thomas Falk of Kimberly-Clark, David Lassar from Halliburton, Thomas Kingsbury of Burlington Stores, and Keith Nosbusch of Rockwell Automation. And one-time Badger Star basketball player, current Charlotte Hornets forward Frank Kaminsky undergoing a minor procedure today to repair what his team calls a small pocket of air between his lung and chest wall. As a result, Kaminsky will not be participating in the Pro Summer League in Orlando. The Fox and Pike Rivers in the town of Village of Waterford, very important to both communities, but officials are having a tough time dealing with proposals to dredge and draw down the level, not to mention the recent decision supporting Waukesha's water diversion request. At last night's Racine County Board meeting, Supervisor Tom Hintz, who is also Waterford's town chairman, said the approval of Waukesha's plan was an extreme disappointment, given what he had been told by officials up to the vote.
Apparently our governors of how many different, there was 8 states and I think two Canadian that voted in favor of this when I was almost assured by our local folks that it couldn't happen.
He mentioned a heavily attended meeting on Monday of the Waterford Waterway Management District's 12-year attempt at permits for dredging and material placement in town wetland areas.
Still no answers, still no funding from any state agency. Our waterway is considered to be a scenic waterway, which is, I think, one of two in the entire state that is supposed to be taken care of by the DNR, by state statute. Their comment is, we don't have any money.
And said that the move to also have waterway residents pay for the dredging is, in his word, absurd. He said, I'm up to my eyeballs in issues right now. S.C. Johnson Chairman and CEO Fisk Johnson among the participants in a roundtable discussion this morning on the measures that ought to be taken to best protect the nation from the Zika virus.
I think it's particularly important to get to the highest risk cities in the southern U.S. This is largely, in my mind, an urban issue. The Aedes mosquitoes bites humans almost exclusively. And so it breeds in areas of high population density and the risk of transmission is highest in the big cities.
This morning's discussion in Washington, led by Senate Homeland Security Chairman Ron Johnson of Wisconsin. Work scheduled to begin next week on another road construction project in Racine County, about 7 miles of Highway 36 from Highway Y in the West End to Highway 100 in Milwaukee County. The $4.1 million project scheduled to be going next Tuesday and be completed by the fall. And 16 years after last competing for a berth in the Olympics as a race walker, Union Grove resident Matt DeWitt will try again Thursday at the trials in Salem, Oregon, though he acknowledges it's a long shot. At the age of 36, he'll do the 20K event, hoping to improve on the time that he set last September, which got him a shot at the Olympics this time for Rio. Kenosha police identified the body of a man pulled from Lake Michigan east of the North Pier June 20th as 20-year-old Aaron Maygard. The Kenosha resident's cause of death has still not officially been determined pending toxicology test results. The Kenosha News points out that Maygard nearly drowned 6 years ago in Silver Lake. He got tangled up in some weeds beyond the designated swim area. He was helped ashore by other swimmers and given life-saving efforts. Racine County officials may be getting together right after the holiday next week in an executive session with an unnamed developer on a potentially unknown project somewhere in the county. The county board told about it by County Executive Jonathan Delagrave and the need to move fairly quickly with this developer who's only going to be around for a while.
He's only in town 3 days, the 6th, 7th, and 8th. And I would like to get, if possible, an executive committee meeting together.
Delagrave offering no other details, though, about the situation. And when pressed by WRJN News about it, he smiled and walked away, but later had a conversation with County Board Chairman Rusty Clark. Some new residents of the Racine Zoo now ready to show their stripes. couple of Hartman's mountain zebras going on display. Here's WRJN's Janet Hoff.
The one-year-old males actually arrived at the zoo about a month ago, but have been in quarantine routine for new animals. The new zebra exhibit is part of the Charles and Jennifer Johnson Land of the Giants on the north end of the zoo, near the Maasai giraffe and black rhino exhibits. Zoo Executive Director Beth Heidorn says it's wonderful to have the zebras back at the zoo. She said they're adjusting to their new home and are very curious about their new surroundings. Hartman's mountain zebras are native to the dry, stony mountains and semi-deserts of southwest Africa. Janet Hoff, AM 1400, WRJN News.
And San Francisco, now with the nation's toughest ban on styrofoam. Food packaging, plates, cups, egg cartons, coolers, to-go containers, pool and beach toys, packing peanuts, dock floats, buoys made from polystyrene, all banned. State Republican lawmakers targeted the Government Accountability Board in recent years for dismantling while leveling sharp criticism at Executive Director Kevin Kennedy, who retires after today and says he never tried to take it personally.
It reflects more on the critics because the fact that they made it personal tells me that they did not have the facts. They had to make it personal to make their case. They had to resort to that level. And, you know, for that reason, it's easy to sort of step above it. You know, I tried not to stoop to that level.
Kennedy maintaining he always looked at himself as a referee who applied the election rules as they were written, which he said often requires taking a certain degree of abuse. The upcoming holiday weekend, a reason to remind parents, watch your kids very carefully around water, a pool, a lake, even the ocean. Kate Carr with Save Kids Worldwide says their study suggested parents falsely believed that they would be able to hear their child in a potential drowning situation and could quickly help.
Drowning is silent, and a young child's head is going to be underwater, so they're not going to be shouting, they're not going to be yelling, and they might not even be splashing visibly. The other thing to really focus on is how fast drowning can occur.
She says their study had kids under 5 at the most for risk of drowning, children less than a year old more likely to drown in a bathroom or even a bucket of water at home. The Mega Millions jackpot now up to an estimated $415 million with no winner last night. That makes it one of the highest jackpots in the lottery's history. If you should win the cash option, about $286 million. Our AccuWeather forecast is coming up. I'm Tom Karkle, WRJN News.